I know that I don't say it nearly enough or as often as I experience it in my own heart, but being a priest here at the cathedral now for almost 4 years is a tremendous blessing. And there are countless reasons why I'll always be grateful for spending my early years as a priest here at this parish. Oftentimes, the reason that I feel so grateful is because of the tremendous witness that all of you offer to our faith, the love, the commitment, the hope that all of you have, whether it's your presence here at Sunday Mass week after week, the many people who are committed to daily Mass day after day, the many people who come to adoration to adore our Lord, or come to the sacrament of confession to receive his mercy. It's a tremendously vibrant parish to be at, and that's a testament to you and your own families. We're also grateful, of course, oftentimes, Monsignor Richter and I, for the support, the love, the encouragement that so many of you offer us. Now, I mentioned that this morning because also I know for many of you, especially those who are parishioners here at the cathedral, are grateful for this parish. There are many reasons that many of you love this parish. Now, I don't mean to sound arrogant this morning or prideful, but I do want to spend some time this morning framing a little bit about what's unique about the cathedral parish compared to many other parishes throughout the diocese. What's unique about this parish? Well, first off, it's important to know that if you go to other cathedrals throughout the country, they're oftentimes located in urban downtown areas. Go to St. Paul, go to Detroit, go to Chicago, go to Washington, D.C. So oftentimes these cathedrals are located in urban areas, and as a result, oftentimes they're dead. There's a lack of vibrancy to them because they're in the middle of downtown and nobody lives downtown. But what's unique about this parish is we're in the middle of a residential neighborhood where many of you live. And because of that, this has a feel of a parish which is very unique when you compare it to other cathedrals throughout this country. Now, what's also unique about this parish compared to any parish in the diocese is the fact that the bishop is here, that this is the bishop's parish. As much as Monsignor Richter and I might think we're the boss, we're not. He is. And there's one thing in this church that tells us that this is the bishop's parish, and it's right over there. And it's not Deacon Randy. He's a good guy, but not that good. What tells us, of course, that this is the cathedral is what is right behind him, the cathedra, the bishop's chair. And this is the cathedral not because of a piece of furniture, but because of the man who sits in that chair, namely the bishop. And it doesn't matter who the bishop is, but whoever is appointed to our diocese by the Holy Father and takes office in that chair is our successor to the apostles. What makes us Catholic is our union with the Holy Father through our bishop. And that cathedra makes the cathedral unique. And as a result of that, many of us who are parishioners here have very regular proximity to our bishop. It's not uncommon for us, right, to come to Mass and have Bishop Kagan covering for Monsignor Richter and I while we're on one of our very extensive vacations. It's very common to come here on Christmas and have Bishop Kagan celebrating the Midnight Mass, or the Triduum, or you name it. Come to 6:45 a.m. Mass every Monday, and our bishop is very generous in offering that Mass. Now, why do I mention that? Because for many people outside the cathedral, to see the bishop is a big deal. And we're so used to it. When I was growing up, I'm going somewhere with this, don't worry. When I was growing up in Williston, if we saw the bishop, it was a big deal. It meant one of two things. Someone was in trouble, or confirmation was happening. That for many, many Catholics throughout the country and throughout the world, there is a direct link, an automatic connection made between the bishop and confirmation, and rightfully so. In our own lives, if we think back to our own confirmation, whether it was last month or last century, there are some things we might remember. We might remember the name we took when we were confirmed. We might remember who our sponsor was. We might even remember the name of the bishop who, in fact, confirmed us. But unfortunately, many of us, myself included, oftentimes forget the effects the sacrament of confirmation had on our soul. We remember the details, like I just mentioned, but in terms of like what effect does confirmation have on me? Good luck. So this morning, based on our readings, I want to answer two simple questions. One, what are the historical, scriptural evidences we have regarding confirmation? Because they're given to us today. And secondly, what effects does that sacrament now have on us? So first, what are the historical, scriptural pieces of evidence we have of confirmation? If you listen closely to the first reading from Acts 8, you notice something. There's this guy named Philip. Who's Philip? He's one of the early deacons of the church. In Acts 2, seven reputable men were named as deacons. One of them, the second named, was Philip. What is Philip now doing? He's in Samaria. Where is Samaria? It's a non-Jewish city in northern Israel. And what is Philip doing? He's proclaiming Christ to them. And what's happening? He's having great success. He's proclaiming Christ, and as a result of his diaconal ministry, he is experiencing success. What does that success look like? Demons are being driven out, and people are being healed. He is having success proclaiming Christ, this deacon. Then what happens? We hear in the reading that the apostles in Jerusalem hear of the success that Philip is having in Samaria. And what then happens? It says that the apostles send Peter and John to go to Samaria, and what do? It says they lay hands on them and they receive the Holy Spirit. The apostles show up, lay hands on them, and they receive the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that they themselves received at Pentecost through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and they are now passing it on to these early disciples in Samaria. Do you see the connection? For us at confirmation, what happens? Our apostle shows up, lays hands on disciples, and they receive the Holy Spirit. What we do at confirmation is based on what Jesus gave at Pentecost and what the apostles then did to pass on that gift in Acts 8 by laying on hands, which our bishop does every time he confirms, and we receive the Holy Spirit. It's tremendous, the evidences we have of what we do as Catholics and what we've received in the sacrament of confirmation. Now that begs the question, right? What effects does that then have? If we look to the catechism, you can look later, paragraph 1303, we'll find out that there are five main effects of the sacrament of confirmation. I'm not going to go through all of them. I want to highlight a few. Number one, confirmation, when we were confirmed, it is meant to increase and deepen the graces of our baptism. That we receive tremendous graces at our baptism. In the sacrament of confirmation, increases those graces and deepens them. Secondly, the sacrament of confirmation roots us more deeply in our divine sonship and daughtership with Christ. That divine childhood, being a child of God that we receive through baptism, is rooted more deeply in the sacrament of confirmation. Thirdly, the sacrament of confirmation is one of those sacraments that we call, it's a character sacrament. What does that mean? It's one of the three sacraments that impart what? A sacramental character, an indelible mark on the soul. There's just one problem. We're talking about a soul, which is invisible, and I'm talking about a mark, which is typically visible. So how the heck does an invisible soul receive something that's a mark? The early church fathers used the word character. Describe what we receive through confirmation. A character in early Greek language was like a branding. Like a cow being branded. I've never done that before, but it sounds cool. Actually, it doesn't. Which is to say what? The branding that we received on our soul in confirmation is permanent. Same with baptism, same with holy orders. Those three sacraments can never be erased, undone, removed. They're permanent. Which is to say what? You and I have been claimed by Christ forever because of our confirmation. That mark on our soul is there permanently. That we have been claimed by Him, which is a big deal. Why? Because no matter what happens in our lives, we belong to Christ. We are, in a sense, property of Him. That we belong to Him. That He is our Father. That He takes care of us. That should give us tremendous hope. But also, the sacrament of confirmation is meant to allow us to bear courageous witness to defend and spread our faith. That's what confirmation does. Just one challenge, right? Can anyone tell me why it is that every year thousands of people are confirmed and it seems to have no real effect? Why is it that thousands and thousands are confirmed year after year and it seems to have no effect on our lives? Why is it that in February of 2003, when I was confirmed as a junior in high school, it had no visible effect on my life? Because I didn't know what it was meant to do. And because I didn't know what it was meant to do, I wasn't asking God to stir up the grace of that sacrament so I could live as a courageous witness of Christ. In order for confirmation, everyone, to actually start having an effect on our lives, no matter our age, we have to know what it does. And what it does is it deepens our relationship with Him and roots us more in Him. And once we know what it does, what can we then do? Ask for an increase in the sacramental grace we've received in confirmation. That if we have been confirmed, all we have to do is say, Jesus, help me to live more in my true identity as your son and daughter. Help me to bear courageous witness to you. Help me, as St. Peter says in our second reading, to always be ready to anyone who asks for a reason for our hope. And what is the reason for our hope? Him. And He giving up His life for us. May we have the confidence to learn what confirmation does, that it's rooted in the same ministry of the apostles that they received from Jesus. May we then also ask for an increase of the grace of our confirmation so that we may bear tremendous witness to a world that is looking for hope, and the hope that we have has a name, and His name is Jesus Christ.